On information, could you state your name, your full name?
Yeah, Frank Baldwin. Francis, my name is Francis, but I go by Frank.
And your date and place of birth?
Halifax, December the 23rd, 1920.
Could you describe your association with St. Mary's? When did you first come to St. Mary's?
Well, I guess it would be around 1950.
Mm-hmm.
I had been coaching at Queen Elizabeth High School in the basketball, and Father O'Donnell approached me and asked me would I coach at St. Mary's. And I said, sure. You know, it was more or less a hobby with me at that time. And then they mentioned, and then Father Brown asked me would I be interested in doing some other work at the university. So I ended up doing 8,000 different jobs.
What different things?
Well, I was the purchasing agent of not the food. I ran the bookstore. I ran the canteen. If they needed an altar boy in the middle of the morning, I would go up. Or if they needed somebody to sing for a funeral mass or something, I'd be on call.
Okay.
So I did everything that you could imagine.
What sports were offered at that time?
Well, football and basketball and hockey. I mean, football, when I went there was no basketball. Of course, when I first went there, the new building wasn't finished. It was just being finished. And when I went there, you know, all the scaffolding was up and they were just completing it. And the rooms weren't finished, and they ended up doing all lugging beds and fixing up the rooms, and which was the north wing. The north wing was for the students, the south wing was for the Jesuits. In that main building, it was only one building, and there was nothing was really finished. So it was.
Where did the sports take place?
Well, they had built a. On the back, over the, I guess is where all the computers are now, there was a gymnasium was there. I mean, it wasn't finished then, and there was a church upstairs, a Canadian Methodist Church. It was all a part of the whole complex.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it started, that wasn't finished either. So, there was no roof on that. And and the field was out there where it is now. They didn't have any stands like they have it now. But this was in 1950, 51. When you're there, you knew everybody. You knew every student because the enrollment wasn't that big.
Yeah, but how many students were there?
Yeah, I just really couldn't tell you, but it wasn't what they... But they also had a small high school attached to the university there, too. And I coached the basketball teams there, too.
So it was... Totally separate, the high school?
No, it was in the same part of the building.
Mm-hmm.
It was different areas because enrollment wasn't that big. And the library wasn't finished and all that type of thing. And they took the high school. They had, from the other building, up in Windsor Street, St. Pat's High School is now, they had students from, South America and everything, so a few of those came along, Guatemala and all those places.
So,
yeah.
How many years were you at St. Mary's?
About 13 years.
13 years.
Mm-hmm.
So you must have seen the school grow a lot while you were there.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah. Oh, yeah, certainly, that's right, yeah.
Yeah.
But there was still only one building when I was there.
When you left?
Yeah.
And that was in 63 or
something. 63, that's right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So this was a school run by the Jesuits.
Jesuits, that's right, yeah.
What was that like?
Well, it was a good school because Jesuits are known for their education. But they weren't, a lot of times they weren't business people. So a lot of people went, and if you couldn't pay your bill, they'd say, oh, well... And as a result, sometimes you get in trouble.
Yeah.
Financially, because, you know, it's pretty tough to be too compassionate. You know, I think it's really nice, but you know that, but it's not good for business.
Mm-hmm.
And they were early years, especially the '50s. They students wore shirt and ties when they went to the class.
Mm-hmm.
They had to be presentable.
Did they do that in the '60s?
It might have been in the early '60s. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But and all of a sudden the roof fell in, and they had to. And as I said, they had quite a few boarders. What they call them, boarders. And they had to attend mass during 2 or 3 days during the week. You know. Yeah. And so it was that type of a situation. You know.
So what other social activities went on at the university?
Well, they were closely aligned with this. I sort of ran a dating agency. I had a lot of friends in Halifax. Some of the guys who I didn't have girlfriends, I'd call up some of the mothers and say, look, we need to, how's your daughter or something, and to get her, just like that. So the convent was, the convent and the mount at that time were available for the students, you know, not available, I mean that you could get them dates, you know.
I see. So would you have dances and things and the girls would come?
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, once in a while they'd have them somewhere, but if they had them too, I mean, they'd have the graduation dances and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they put on, of course, the high school, and that put on plays, and there's always something going on at the university. They had to share dances, and they had the big news with the mock trials they had, and they would try somebody or something, you know, that would. They were there. They were really fun. So it was a good.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good feeling there. Everybody knew each other, and it was a, you know.
So did almost everyone compete in sports of some kind?
They had intramurals, and nearly everybody. When I know that I was the high school team, and when I was with the high school there, everybody in the high school played basketball. Because two other, we finally got the, I don't know what year it was, we got the gym fixed, gym all done, and he said we just had a softwood floor there, but everybody in the high school played basketball, and football was a good sport there too, because the field was out there.
Mm-hmm. So the field is where it is?
It is, no, that's right, yes, yeah.
What were the academic programs like back then?
Well, the academic programs weren't as varied as they are now. Of course, they had the science program, engineering program, first 3 years. Then they went to, it was called Nova Scotia Tech at the time, then they went there. And it was arts and commerce. That was basically all that was offered.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were the first ones, I think, to have the adult education. I think Father Blair was there, started the adult education and people coming in after 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Yeah. See, when I was there, there was no summer school or anything. There was no summer school. It was just closed in the summertime. So. And that's only a relative newcomer type of thing. The summer school, but they started the classes at 4 o'clock in the afternoon for people that wanted to get a degree and were at working or something. So we had a couple of courses to, but basically it was a science degree, and arts and commerce.
Mm-hmm. And what were the faculty like then?
But mostly Jesuits.
Mostly Jesuits.
And of course they played a big, religion was a big part of their, and philosophy was a big thing then,
yeah.
Too.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody had to take philosophy, and But the faculty was mostly, mostly Jesuits. Mm-hmm. And of course, it wasn't co-ed for a long while.
No.
It wasn't co-ed.
It wasn't co-ed the whole time you were there.
No, it was just after, that's right, just after I left, because I remember Eileen O'Leary, one of the first ones there. No, it wasn't Eileen. The girl's name was O'Neill, I think. She and Eileen O'Leary were one of the first ones that were.
So did they come during the evening classes?
No, they didn't know. There was nothing then, see, for evening classes, and it was only later on that they started the... It was
very different than today.
Oh, that's right. Yes, yeah.
Yeah. And let's see. The student population. But what ages were the boys that were going there?
Very. I guess it would be the same. But the same as it is today. Very. And the rules were much. You know, you just couldn't go roaming around all the time. You had to be in your room at a certain hours and stuff like that. So you know, it was. Was certainly more structured than it is now, you know.
You were curfews?
Curfews, oh yeah. I mean, Lord forbid if there was any thought of drinking or women in the rooms and stuff like that. That'd be a terrible, terrible thing. Okay. But I'm sure that there's a little bit of both, you know. The lower floors, you open those windows pretty easy and get in there and move on one place to another.
So what were the family backgrounds of the students?
Of course, again, we had a lot of set of people, a lot of, not a lot of people, but people from South America and there that came up with which would be affluent backgrounds, and the people that were from Halifax could be ordinary, because it's a case that, but I guess, what can I say? It would be a middle-aged type of, I mean a middle, not middle-aged, but a middle, mm-hmm. middle income area, that's right. Mm-hmm. See, the thing too, most of them were Catholics too, see?
Yeah.
With a few non-Catholics dispersed, because the non-Catholics went to, by and large, went to Dalhousie if they were going to, or Queens if they were in the city. So it was
So why were there some non-Catholics there?
Well, I guess they had some friends there, or they wanted to, you know, it's like a lot of things. There was a bit of discipline there too with the Jesuits, and that made a. And that has had such a great such a great influence. But when we, you know, the north wing, we needed some students, so we went on a little tour down to New England to get some students.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and when you mention it's a Jesuit school, it's a big plus for it, because a lot of them. In the U.S., went to private schools and went to Jesuit high schools, their prep schools, and that made a big impression. So it was very important to people and still is today. When you think of Georgetown and Boston College and these places, that is they a lot of people go. So mm-hmm. I mean, it's
inspired a lot of respect.
Yeah, that's right. But it was. You know, I say you get to know everybody in the morning. They'd come in and you'd hear all the stories, and it was just fun. You know. Never made any money. As I said, I always say that the Jesuits took the vow of poverty and expected me to take it too. You know, but it was a good atmosphere, and I. And that it was a good time, because I get to know a lot of people and get to know a lot of, and you know, and sometimes you feel you might have had a little influence on somebody somewhere along the line,
mm-hmm.
which makes it a little better, you know. I mean, as long as it was a good influence.
Yeah. So how did the sporting activities change when you were there?
Well, listen, it's like sporting activities change everywhere. It's unfortunately so often today that the coaches aren't paid to coach, they're paid to win. Mm-hmm. And it was more of a fun attitude, you know, it was a little less professional and a little more of a fun to it, and not everybody wanted to win, but I mean, if you didn't win, it wasn't the end of the world, you know. Mm-hmm. And so it was that type of an atmosphere. In those days, everybody wanted to be center back, because they were winning everything.
Yeah.
But it was a different type of atmosphere, you know, as it is today. You know, you were lucky if you got a uniform, you know, nice uniform, because the money wasn't that available, that much available.
Mm-hmm. Covered everything. Oh, what was your relationship with the students?
Oh, great! We sit down, and of course you spend a lot of time. I said I knew everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and some of the people that I knew I still see. You know. Okay. Yeah.
I suppose you were running everything, so you had to...
That's right. So you had to be, you know, even deliver the mail sometimes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, but I had it was great, it was a great time for me, you put in a lot of hours, you know. I mean, you'd play at Center Vex or something, basketball game, then come back, play there at, come back at 4 in the morning over those old roads from Anaconish, their old roads, and, you know, back to work and up to work, and never thought of missing any work or anything. You just went there, you know. And, but as I say, it was great for me, and it,
So you kept up touch with St. Mary's?
Yes, I do. Not as much as I'd like, but since I moved out here, I used to live down the South End, so I used to drop down there every so often. But I don't get down that way that much, and it's just more or less. And then I was very 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 happy that I got an honorary degree, an honorary doctorate.
When did you get that?
2 years ago.
2 years ago?
Yeah.
Oh.
Which was kind of nice.
Yeah.
Mm. It's nice, as I say, it's nice to be remembered when you're alive rather than when you're dead. You know?
Doesn't mean too much.
No, that's right.
Okay, well, that's about all I want to tell you.